And I want to tell everybody that family violence happens to everybody, no matter how nice your house is, how intelligent you are. It happens to anyone and everyone. And this has been an 11-year battle.
Rosie Batty speaking to the media the morning after her 11-year-old son Luke had been brutally murdered by his father at midweek cricket practice last February, with Rosie and other parents and children nearby. Last night in Canberra, Rosie Batty was named Australian of the Year. Out of personal tragedy, Rosie chose, within hours of the death of her only child, to give voice to the many thousands of victims of domestic violence, putting the issue firmly on the national agenda. Hello, I'm Alex Sloan, and I spoke to Rosie Batty about the honour of being Australian of the Year. Rosie Batty, congratulations on being our Australian of the Year.
Thank you. It's a really great honour and very humbling, and I'm really kind of, I suppose, genuinely moved because I don't quite know what to say and I don't quite know what it means. To me, it just means, I suppose, that a lot of people will understand.
Do you think it goes to the heart of our values, that the innocent should be protected, and we didn't do that? We failed.
No, look, maybe. I just think that people who go through family violence, whether they experience it as a small child or with an ex-partner or a current partner, you know, you know how it changes you forever. And our systems and processes fail people every day. But we can blame those. But what we really need to do is take responsibility for our own behaviour and really challenge our views of violence and ask ourselves, you know, why have we allowed this to continue through generations and decades? And are we going to let it continue without seriously looking at ourselves and saying, we don't want our children to suffer and be compromised? We don't. We always want the best for our children. We want them to have a better life than we've had, and that's what we work so hard to try and provide. So it's about for the sake of our children, because they are the ones that can make this huge change and shifting of attitudes. And so I think it's about, you know, us looking at ourselves and taking responsibility for ourselves and not looking at blaming.
And I wonder if that's the key, because I'm going to play now. It was your interview the morning after Luke had been murdered that stopped us in our tracks.
Luke was at cricket practice, and it was allowed from the intervention order. It was a public place. I believed he was safe. It was just a little cricket practice. There's people there. I believed he was safe. I think it was a fair access. I think on the circumstances, I'm a victim like anybody else, that the court system and myself made decisions believing they were the best interests of Luke. I don't think anyone really understood or understands what somebody is able to do. And so as a sane person or as a caring parent, you trust that the very person that killed him loved him, and they did love him. They loved him more than anyone else. The only two people that love their son as much as anyone is their mother and father. And the very tragic thing about this is the father's life was tragic and based on court appearances and other challenges in his life that we couldn't help him with, and neither could anybody else. He was on a path of desperate. No one loved Luke more than Greg, his father. No one loved Luke more than me. We both loved him. I did what I believe was in the best interests of Luke. And I'm comfortable with that. It was a tragic situation that no one could see was going to happen. I'm still dealing with disbelief. I'm here right now because I know you have a job to do. And I want to tell everybody that family violence happens to everybody, no matter how nice your house is, how intelligent you are. It happens to anyone and everyone. And this has been an 11-year battle.
It was one of those moments of a mother dealing with unimaginable tragedy. But you talked to us about forgiveness and about love.
Yes, look, I think, you know, maybe we feel that if we forgive somebody, we actually, you know, that we feel some kind of guilt attached to that. But really, if we don't forgive, and forgiving is not forgetting and it's not condoning, it's about saying, what happened cannot consume me. It cannot destroy me. Somewhere from this, I can find a place where I can become a better person and make a difference. And there are so many examples of people through tragedy doing just that. And I've, you know, over my life, of whether it's somebody succumbing to cancer or lung cancer or a terrible accident and losing loved ones and the tsunami and the Bali bombings, whatever it is, you know, you have people that come through those hideous experiences, and so they will all be permanently affected. Some will they use that as a catalyst for change, and some will stay within fear, blame and anger. And really, those people that choose that other approach, the rest of their life is compromised. And what I've learned through my journey since Luke did get killed is, without realizing what I was doing or what I was saying, but speaking from the heart, this is where I am today, which is accepting an award that would have been impossible for me to ever have. And with that award, I take really seriously because, you know, I was an English person coming here when I was 24. And I took my oath of residency, citizenship, should I say, 2 years later. And I've lived most of my life now in Australia. And through that lifetime, there's been those times where you've had really good times and really bad times. Never as bad as what happened in February last year. But I now look back from this lifetime in Australia and I now know not only have I made great long-lasting friendships and become part of my local community, my family and friends from England, you know, remain a long way away, but those friendships I've developed here are life-lasting, and all those things matter when you go through a tragedy, and everybody that you know rises to that to be human and compassionate and kind and giving and generous. So, you know, wouldn't you rather embrace all of those qualities that make everybody richer for the experience?
We all had to rise up to you. I think Helen Garner put it absolutely beautifully. If I can just read what she wrote. Yeah. She said, your demeanour stopped us in our tracks. There was something splendid in your devastation, a sense that a woman's pain was not the only thing that existed in the world, that you had not only the authority of the brutally bereaved, but wisdom and trust.
You know, wisdom, look, that's what we, in my mind, we spend a lifetime trying to gain. And, you know, that's insight, wisdom, compassion. Those are qualities that we, I hope, continue to develop through the rest of our lives. Those are the qualities I choose to try and develop. And, you know, I don't always feel that I rise to my expectations of myself. And I know that since Luke's death, there have been many close friends and family who've been the brunt of my anger and sadness, because grief comes in many forms. And it trips you at times when you just are triggered into a response you can't control. So, you know, the dignity and composure people see mostly, it's not the same for those in my inner circle who may see me behaving in a more less dignified way. But I understand, you know, those are part of a journey of grief and they need to be expressed, and you need the forgiveness and support of your friends and family to be able to take you through that.
If this is a moment in our history where we say, what about the victim? What could we have done? What could have been done?
I think the difficulty is it's very hard to know that somebody is planning something that you can't even begin to envisage yourself. We don't think like that. We don't. It's beyond our expectations, beyond our ability to consider. So even though I felt I was keeping Luke safe and I was trying to balance Greg's love of Luke and his ability to still see him, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought he would be able to do or indeed carry through and do what he did at cricket practice. So for me, I feel that, you know, if I, who knew him best, didn't expect or could predict that, then, you know, we have to learn from that, and our organisations and response teams, that we need to really consider our responses and our actions and learn from them. And, that, you know, the previous police commissioner in Victoria, Ken Lay, was very happy to take on board anything that they could have done differently and change that. And he did immediately change some things. And the rest, you know, will come through with the coronial inquest, and there hopefully will be things that can be learnt from there. But, you know, is anyone to blame? I think everyone goes to work to do their job to the best of their ability, but there is always something that we learn. Whether a better appreciation of family violence, I think, really is key, and that's across all professions and all across the communities. You know, instead of talking about victims and potentially blaming them for staying where they are or going back, or, you know, let's really, really discuss male violence and perpetrator accountability. It is part of the solution, and it is a shifting in attitudes. And I really believe that this year ahead is going to see a greater shifting in that direction.
You're listening to an interview with Australian of the Year, Rosie Batty. For Rosie, that shifting in attitudes includes us in the media. Here's Rosie in a fiery response less than 2 months after Luke's death on Studio 10's discussion about new Victorian child abuse reporting laws that critics feared could punish victims of violence.
Good morning to you. Do you think this is placing unfair, I suppose, stress on the wrong person?
I am absolutely outraged. I was living in hope that because of Luke's tragic death, it would bring a huge awareness to family violence. This is beyond my comprehension how, again, the woman who's the victim is punished. And Jo, your comments are so, so misguided. Right. If you minimise how it feels to feel unsafe, and when we're talking about unsafe, we're talking about the risk to our lives. We're talking about when women finally may decide to leave their partners, they are at their most risk. And you know what happened to me? Greg had finally lost control of me, and to make me suffer, and the final act of control, which was the most hideous form of violence, was to kill my son. So don't you ever think that if we don't report, it's because we don't want to. It's because we are so scared about what might happen. Joe needs to look at his views as a man, and he needs to step up and get informed. Because when I hear comments like that, I am so saddened that the focus is still on the woman. Where the hell is the perpetrator? Why isn't he being jailed for 3 years?
Is it true that former Victorian Police Commissioner Ken Lay was one of the first people to text you on Christmas morning?
Yes, he was. And, you know, I have now, you know, from my recent journey, I now have a number of kind caring man that really, I think, texts me regularly, make sure that I'm okay, know that the role that they have can be part of this big change, and they are as equally supportive as any other.
That support includes former Victorian Police Commissioner Ken Lay. I asked him why he describes Rosie Batty as the most remarkable victim he has met in his 40-year career.
Look, Alex, I think it was probably, again, that day after Luke's death, and I think people right around Australia saw that interview. She was in an enormous amount of pain, but the way she spoke, it was with dignity and compassion. She wasn't looking to blame. In fact, she was doing the exact opposite. She was saying that she just wants the system to get better. And I think that set her apart from many, many victims. She was on this path, and she wanted the agencies and she wanted governments to come on this journey with her. And over the last 12 months, it's been enormously difficult for her. But, you know, I know in my position, she's made me feel uncomfortable at times about the way we respond and the way we need to get better. I know she's made governments feel uncomfortable as well. She's made other agencies feel uncomfortable, but not with that sense of blame, but with that sense of let's get better at this. Let's stop these crimes occurring at the horrible rate they are occurring.
She says that you, as the then Victorian Police Commissioner, brought about immediate changes in the wake of Luke's death. Can you tell us about those changes?
We've been on a journey for 10 years, Victoria Police, to try and get better. But you know, clearly there were some system errors that we needed to get fixed, and we fixed them almost immediately. And certainly my rhetoric ramped up within the organisation, not only about, you know, our IT and our systems that needed to get better, but our attitudinal stuff. We needed to understand that this was a men's issue. We needed to get better at this space in challenging men in our community. Alex, sometimes it takes these horrible tragedies to make us get better. And I suspect that Luke's tragic death was the turning point for our community, our government, and they should be well aware that for the first time in my 40 years of policing, I heard both sides of the House talking about family violence leading up to an election. Now, that would not have been dreamed of 10 years ago. So we're in a far different place, and much, much of that rests with Rosie Batty.
Do you credit Rosie as the impetus for the Victorian Royal Commission into family violence?
I suspect it's a very, very big very big driver. People in my position can talk on a regular basis about men behaving better and governments getting better and agencies getting better. But when someone like Rosie can look down the barrel of the camera and act with the dignity she did, but also share the enormous pain that she was going through, governments needed to sit up and take notice. And I've got no doubt at all that Rosie Batty can look at the Royal Commission as one of her legacies.
Have you got personal hopes about what comes out of the Royal Commission?
Look, I think for the last decade or so, as a community, we've been trying hard in the family violence space. The narrative started to change a little now towards this is a men's issue that men need to stand up and own. The agencies are working very, very hard, but time now for the step change. It's for many years, the world looked at Australia, and particularly Victoria, as being some of the world's best practice, but much of the world's caught up. It is now time for us to find that next answer, find that next driver, and find that next change to make women and children safer in their home. And I think the Royal Commission's a really good vehicle for doing that. Marcia Neave, the Royal Commissioner, she's got a wonderful, wonderful history in family violence. She understands the issues and the drivers. So I'm very, very hopeful and very, very bullish about this. I think we'll get some wonderful, wonderful results.
What do you wish for Rosie Batty with the spotlight on her?
Look, I'd like to see Rosie now to get back to some sort of normality in her life. She's worked tirelessly for the last 12 months, and I suspect that for many years to come that she'll be a family violence crusader. she does deserve a break. She deserves some peace in her life, and I hope that some of the legacies that she'll start to see forming now will give her that sense of comfort that she can go forward with her life. And remember Luke fondly, not forget what happened, but remember Luke fondly and hopefully find herself in a much happier space in years to come.
Do you think she'll end up saving lives?
You bet. Absolutely. I think she's done that already. I've got no doubt that she's challenged men the way we think and the way we behave. She's challenged agencies. She's challenged governments. It's almost impossible to quantify, you know, people who haven't been hurt or lives haven't been saved. But when you start getting the amount of momentum in the community that Rosie's driven, I've got no doubt at all that there'll be women and children alive today and into the future because of her legacy. Look, I'm enormously proud of Rosie and what she's achieved, and I think all Australians should be.
Former Victorian Police Commissioner Ken Lay. Back to Rosie Batty and the future. Enormous amount of pressure has been put on you. You've got just grief to deal with. You now have this award, and I suppose people are asking about, is politics next? How are you dealing with it all?
I think most of the time I deal really well. I think sometimes I do get overwhelmed, and I've just obviously over the last few weeks it has been quite intense because there are a number of things that are happening. We've got the announcement of a Royal Commission into Family Violence in Victoria.
Which can lay credits to you.
Well, and I think our Premier Daniel Andrews, you know, he was very, very supportive and receptive when I met with him, and he continues to keep in touch and remind me of, you know, his dedication and focus. With those kind of supports, I think, you know, I'm really hopeful that Victoria are going to really show Australia itself how we can start to change our systems and processes. And to know that, you know, those kind of high-profile people, but people who I have met with personally, really do have been personally affected to the point where that they use their position and power to actually know that this is the time for them to affect change.
And that's getting things out of silos, getting communication. You, as a protector of Luke, should have been told various points of information.
Yeah, look, I think there's various things, and there are reasons why the police, you know, don't tell you certain things or can't tell you certain things. So it's really easy to be jumped to immediate criticisms. But I think, you know, what we really need is no matter which policeman you come into contact at, whatever police station or whatever magistrate or judge you go into, whatever courtroom, we need the same response, which is believing the victims, treating them with respect, listening to their stories, and making sure that the perpetrators have intervention, serious intervention, because punishment without intervention is futile. So it is a strategy that I believe, you know, we need the expertise from the family violence sector who work on the coalface every day dealing with men and women who are committing crimes. And we need everybody to come together using their expertise and prioritising it because, you know, as soon as there's any discussion of a war on terrorism, immediately millions of dollars and billions of dollars is found. But our family violence resources have always been under-resourced, and we really need leadership by politicians, and particularly also with the federal government. And that's what I'm hoping, that as Australian of the Year I can continue to influence, because I think personally most people in politics will have children, boys and girls, they will have mothers and fathers, they will have brothers and sisters. None of us want to ever be in the position that I'm now in. So, you know, we all have to say, let's appeal to our personal side and use our positions of power or authority to make social change.
What's ringing in my ears is you saying, I refuse to be just another one, just another one. You've had to dig deep in resilience to front up to interviews like this and occasions like this. How strong are you? Rosie.
Clearly, I'm a lot stronger than I ever credited myself. Yeah. And I don't think you just become something. I mean, I lost my mother when I was six. And, you know, I probably throughout my whole life have needed to draw strength because I have needed to survive. And, you know, back in the day when my mum died, we didn't have the same communication with our children and we didn't know how to share our grief. So my brothers and I grew up, you know, having to be resilient and resourceful. And, you know, I think of a lifetime of really self, you know, having to support yourself emotionally has given me the tools. And together with a very resilient family, you know, that's how my dad has modeled his, you know, strength of character, my grandmother and people throughout my family. So, you know, I come from good genes in that way, and I'm glad that I'm able to make them proud.
And if this is about Luke and for Luke, do you want to tell us about him?
I probably won't be able to without crying.
Is there a message, just a general message to all of us who may know about family violence? Is there anything that you want to leave us with about what we can do?
Well, I just think we need to understand that there is never an excuse. It's not, it is always a choice. And it's not because you're drunk. It's not because you're drug affected. It's not because you have a mental illness. It's not because she nagged too much. It's not because he didn't do what you wanted. It's a choice. It's abuse. And we need to take responsibility for our behavior and learn strategies and methods of dealing with our anger so that we can be different and better people and recognize that those that are vulnerable should never, ever have to suffer at the hands of those with the power.
Rosie Batty, congratulations for being Australian of the Year 2015. And it must be the ultimate example of bittersweet.
Thank you. It is bittersweet, but it makes a huge difference to my life. And I know that as much as it's hard for me to talk about Luke, because it brings back the reality of my situation, it helps me get up every day to know that Australia recognises that I'm a mum that lost a beautiful son. I think about him every day, all the time. And this helps me move forward with a life without him. You know, and I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the support of Australia behind me. Because that's, I guess, the way that I can move forward.
I think you've got that support, and I know you have the support of your family. I'm going to release you to them. It's such a privilege to meet you. Thank you, Rosie.
Thank you very much.